The real issue is not a single statement of a person. When that happens, we have to deal with it. But the way to deal with it is not to shoot our own soldier laying on the battlefield.
As much as some of the social issues that former presidential candidate Pat Buchanan shouted about from the podium at the 1992 Republican convention seemed to come from the party's fringe at that time, in the intervening decades, they've established themselves in the mainstream of the GOP's rhetoric. And inevitably, they are promoted and sustained by the language of religion, both within and beyond the party's formal leadership. When Mitt Romney entered the current presidential race, leading voices within the Republican Party denounced him as not Christian. They even called him a member of a cult. But as his nomination began to look inevitable, those same voices found a way to approve of his religious background. It's important to note that this did not involve looking beyond Romney's faith, something I would have been much more comfortable with, but virtually to redefine him as an evangelical for practical purposes, to redefine his religious background and then double down on how that now helped make him qualified to lead. Well, the same magic happened after Missouri Representative Todd Akin made his extraordinary statement regarding rape and conception. Need I even remind you that Akin said that if a woman was raped legitimately, whatever that means, then she wouldn't get pregnant because women raped legitimately had biological forces that kept her from being pregnant. Some prominent leaders, like former presidential candidate and Baptist Mike Huckabee, did not distance themselves from Akin's remarks, but instead embraced them. And it all brings to mind the old saying, he may be a fool, but he's our fool. Have we reached yet another new low in win-at-all-cost electioneering? And what does it do to religion when dogmas are seemingly rewritten to match the words of a favored political candidate? Look, I have been wanting to talk about this with a fellow Baptist. In fact, I've been wanting to talk about it with a fellow woman who is a Baptist because this denomination seems particularly vulnerable to this kind of manipulation in recent years. So, joining me now is Susie Painter, director of the Texas Baptist Human Life Commission and a respected voice not only in Baptist life but beyond on these issues. Susie, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
When you heard Todd Akin's remark, what did you think?
It was shock. It was total shock. My first thought was, I didn't hear that right. That couldn't possibly be what he said. Uh-huh. My second take on it, after I realized, no, he really meant what he said and he was defending what he said, is that we've had a new low of the religious community mm-hmm. not even giving credibility to the most basic human science of reproduction. Mm-hmm. I was offended as a woman. I was offended as a Christian. And I thought, my gosh, you know, will there be no barriers to what people will say mm-hmm. in order to manipulate an election?
Mm-hmm. What did you think when you heard or read that Mike Huckabee had aligned himself with Todd Akin's remarks and tried to build a Baptist base of support for them?
The idea of abortion-based rhetoric in our politics for so many years, it made me think, have we just talked about this issue so endlessly mm-hmm. that we have nothing left to say, mm-hmm. only to go to a more extreme and more extreme position to try to diminish the impact and the horror and the tragedy of rape? Mm-hmm. I was disappointed in Mike Huckabee because I have understood his positions many times as a thoughtful position, mm-hmm. a conservative position, but a very thoughtful position. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised. And then I thought, well, is he just hoodwinked by this same pseudoscience? And if so, why not denounce it today?
Yeah. Susie, isn't it a kind of relativism that first and foremost serves a political purpose and tries to do that by being framed in a religious context?
Yeah, and here's the paradox in that, is that so many times the preliminary rhetoric is we have the absolute values.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the real truths. And then the articulation of something like this is the exact opposite. It's a relativistic statement. It's this to me is deception.
Mm-hmm.
It does discredit to the gospel, to the Christian community, to the greater good of mankind to say that we are going to just pick up the toolbox of deception in the name of this political party. And the reason I say that is I see so many churches and religious groups being used. It's like their Rolodex is for sale.
Right.
You know, and I'll deliver to you this many names. And so in order to be favored by the purchaser of that Rolodex, it's like we'll say anything. And the deception in the name of religion, you know, is among the greatest betrayals.
Yeah. What about the radical changes that we've seen regarding attitudes toward Mormonism in terms of Mitt Romney's being a palatable candidate for evangelical Christians? And then again, I mean, my preference would be that these questions not enter the political debate at all, that we just talk about, is he a good candidate for president? But since they are in the debate, do you see this is a case where the candidate failed the basic litmus test of the evangelical community, and then they just rewrote the test?
Absolutely. And here's a similar paradox, a similar irony to it, which is that at the same time that they have turned from even having an articulate analysis of Mormonism and the differences between evangelical Christianity and Mormonism, and there are several points to be discussed along that line, but instead of even going down that road, it's just a wholesale discount of the differences. As I believe as Mike Huckabee said in his speech last night, well, it's what he's going to do for the country, it's not his religion, which is, again, the irony is that these groups are often formed and built on their godly principles, on their scriptural foundations, and so to dismiss that wholesale, on one hand. Secondly, in the most vehement and destructive ways, you have Representative Gohmert and others coming, and Michelle Bachmann coming against Muslims that are in positions of responsibility in the government, impugning their religious nature and context and culture by association, you know, totally unfounded, accusing them of radical affiliations. And so it's like they're discounting religious difference on one hand, and then but escalating the verbal violence on the other hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Same voices, same voices.
Is there anything in our historic Baptist tradition as Christians that gives credence to or affirmation for the kind of behavior we saw in Huckabee's embrace of this terrible comment about rape, or the nimbleness with which we saw Baptist pastors move from a condemnation of a candidate to an affirmation of a candidate on the basis of that candidate's political identity?
Well, I'll tell you what a friend of mine says. Be careful of the beans. The beans, I said. Yes, the human beans, he said.
I say.
I think, you know, our fallibility as human beings when faced with power, it is a litmus test of our convictions. Are you going to stand with your convictions when faced with the temptation, the sweet taste of powerful notoriety?
Mm.
Our tradition many traditions, the tradition of integrity. So this is the test. Sadly, we don't rehearse for it very well.
Yeah.
And so when pastors, when leaders are met with the bright lights of fame and the pandering of powerful people, it's hard to reach down and keep that touch point of conviction and constancy. Mm-hmm. And so when I see this wavering from one pole to another, from one place to another, it's not that I might not even share many, many views of the person who's speaking. Mm-hmm. But the sadness to me is the lack of consistency in the face of power. And the witness of Christ mm-hmm. in the face of power was consistency. And I think that's what the sad context for the Christian community right now is, that story will be written that, oh, no, they couldn't be consistent. They had to wave all around the place to pander to someone else.
Susie, why don't you give our listeners your website so they can check you out and may find some help in what your information you're providing?
Sure. It's texasbaptist.org/CLC. That stands for the Christian Life Commission. Or you can just Google Texas Baptist and go to the Christian Life Commission. That's our website. We have several pages on public policy and several pages on keeping your church out of court, including IRS rules of what churches can and can't do, and some resources as well about churches and politics.
Susie Painter is the director of the Texas Baptist Human Life Commission. She also heads the Office of Advocacy and Care. Susie, I've been wanting to talk with you, and I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your insights on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton.